It is the Karellcast. I am Karell. So very glad you are joining me here in my kitchen on this Tuesday. Boy, the vegans that are suing Burger King in the news, it's all over the news, they would not want me on their jury. I'm going to tell you why. We've got a lot to talk about today on the show. I'm also, since I'm in the kitchen, going to give you the four ingredients of the deadliest American dish known to mankind. We're going to talk about that. We've got so many things to talk about. In fact, I better just get right to it. Now, you know, I spend a lot of time in the kitchen because I like to be in control of my food. And I became a plant-based eater 2.5 years ago, what you would call probably a vegan, except I realized that being a vegan both had a bad connotation and there were too many rules. And that's why veganism has failed as a movement, because it is the healthiest way of eating, plant-based eating. Everybody is catching on, celebrities, athletes. It is the best way to go, okay? And I'm going to convince you of it, and you're going to be healthier, and you're going to survive, and we're going to see what happens with Trump. Today, the impeachment hearing, oh my God, they call me Mr. Tibbs. Noon's got his face slapped by a person in the army. It's Lieutenant Colonel, honey. He might as well have said honey. You know, they really should have gay sound effects when they're doing these things. Like when they're giving testimony in impeachment hearings, I think more people would watch if they had gay sound effects. You know, like when he said today, oh, and it's Lieutenant Colonel, you know, if I would have been there to say, honey, okay, now people would watch. You know, when Schiff and all these people go back and forth, that there was someone going, oh, no, he didn't. He did too. No, he did. Oh, child, there's going to be hell to pay. If they had a gay commentator like me recapping the impeachment hearing live, not in a show or anything, but just for everybody, as it happened, I think more people would watch. Anyway, so in the news today, outside of that, it's... Okay, so Burger King introduced the Impossible Burger, which is the competition of the Beyond Burger. Impossible Foods, they're called, because they like us to think like beyond and impossible, because eating healthy is suddenly some sort of revolutionary science. It's not. And Chinese have been making fake meat for thousands of years. So anyway, Burger King, not a bastion of health, by the way. One of the reasons 7 out of 10 Americans are fat. A European company, FYI. So Burger King introduces the Impossible Burger to great success. Raging success. Fabulous success. And so they've introduced it. Here it is. They did it at one and now they're doing it at all. Here it is. And vegans are upset, some, because they cook the Impossible Burger on the grill, the same grill that they cook the regular burgers. By the way, so does White Castle. And they do that, and some fat, animal fat, may get on the burger, and subsequently the vegan's life is ruined. And that's it. They spontaneously combust right there. So when they consume the Impossible Burger from Burger King and they eat it, and that small trace amount of animal fat that may be on a grill that you're cooking on enters their body, obviously right then and there, they simply combust. And so because of this, because vegans are bursting into flames, at McDonald's everywhere, or I'm sorry, at Burger King's everywhere. There's now a lawsuit to help prevent this. Yeah, that's absurd, right? I mean, that's absurd. This is why it's hard for me, as the planted host, to come out here and tell you about a plant-based lifestyle. Because you hear these stories, and you think, see, I'm just not... And that's... They're crazy. Plant-based eaters think the vegans suing, first of all, anyone that goes to Burger King and thinks you're getting a health food, you're mentally unfit anyway, okay? You're not right in the head. So if I'm in the jury, I'm going to be like, this vegan thought they were going to go to Burger King and get a health food. It's called Burger King, by the way. When you walk in, the wafting smell of hamburger is everywhere, okay? So I'm sorry. This is why this movement ends up being fringe and failing. Because vegans like this take a burger chain. Like, look behind me. See that Bob Big Boy up there? Now, if there were any Bob's Big Boy left, and I were to go to a Bob's Big Boy, and I were to order an Impossible Burger, I would not think that they have some special grill and special restaurants. Look, we need to save America's life. We need to save the world's life. Okay? If that means that your vegan burger might be cooked on a grill that some meat is cooked on, oh well, so long as you're eating better, I don't freaking care. And if you're so vegan that you do care about something like that, then you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, child. Okay? Because look at my house. Look right here. Here's my Beyond Burger. Okay? I'm probably going to have that with lunch with this acorn squash that I peeled. I didn't know you could, so I did. And some potato, some carrot, which is going to be roasted with this in the handy-dandy Brava oven over there. And I might use this Beyond Beef as a protein burger. Now, I don't eat a lot of them. Why don't I eat a lot of them? Because they junk food. Because they're, what, 300-something calories per burger? Now even meatier. Meatier than what? 250 calories in just the burger, okay? So I've got about 200 left for the rest of everything. Okay, but right next to it, there on the counter, that is Embers. That's raw chicken breast. And this is a piece of chicken skin, chicken fat. Now, this is right next to this Beyond Burger here in my house. And you can bet if I needed to cut it, I would cut it over here on this cutting board with that knife. And then I would wash it, and I would get my spray bottle, which is now over there on the buffet, if you can see it. It's got a bleach solution in it, and I would clean things down. But I would still use the same damn cutting board. Now, if that upsets you, vegans, you crazy. You need to calm down. Okay? Take a note from Taylor Swift, who we're all so relieved now that she can sing all of her hits at the AMAs. Her fight with Scooter Braun is... it's taking its toll on me. I don't know how much of this I can stand. For those of you that don't understand what I'm talking about, be grateful. Just be grateful. Just be grateful that I pay attention to that and you don't have to. So these vegans are suing Burger King for their Impossible Burger being cooked on a grill that might have had meat on it. Any extreme movement. And this is what, I think this is what President Bill Obama, well, just combine them. One was the first black president but was white, and one was really the first black president but was half white. So, I mean, figure it out. Do you see the new lighting up there? This new track lighting, daylight track lighting, by the way. Oh, it's so chic. It's $8 on Amazon for all of them. So I'm sure I'm going to burn down or whatever, but it's good lighting. Anyway, where was I? Meanwhile, back at the ranch. President Obama was talking about the fringe left. And see, I think this is what I'm talking about with the fringe vegans, okay? You're not going to win over people. You're not going to get people to eat healthier. You're not going to save one animal's life by suing Burger King. You're going to get Burger King to stop serving the Impossible Burger. If a court rules in your favor, and now, in order to serve people like me, a plant-based burger, you know, they have to have a separate stove and a separate cutting board and separate utensils, no restaurant's going to have two kitchens. I'm sorry. So you need to work out a compromise with yourself, okay? All right, we got lots more coming up on the show. Don't go anywhere. But I'd like to remind you that I am supported through Patreon, literally supported. And it's gone down, not up, because I'm honest. And that's my fault because I forgot that I'm the best talk show host, lifestyle talk show host, any kind of talk show host working. And I allowed myself to slip. I'm not going to. Coming up next, the four ingredients for murder. And then after that, we're going to do finally realizing when something is what it is. But right now, don't forget, I am supported by you through Patreon. And you get there at patreon.com/Carell or at reallycarell.com, the website reallycarell.com. And did y'all know that I have my dedicated app? It's the Carellcast app. And it's at Android. It's at Apple. It's free. All of my content flows into it, so go get it and enjoy it, please. All right, I am Carell. We'll be back right after this with the four ingredients for mass murder. Ooh. Hey, I am Carell, and this is the Carellcast. You know, as someone who likes to cook, I'm always thinking of ingredients. And I have to say that today there's a study since 1966. So it's a pretty comprehensive study. It's also a pretty sad study. I know the four things that go into the worst dish America serves, okay? The worst thing the worst dish that we serve is by far mass murder, a shooting where four or more people are killed. Mass killings. California is suffering just a rash of them, including a Hmong community. I've never heard of a Hmong community, and I guess they even have a famous singer from the Hmong community, and he randomly was at this party in Fresno and dies in the same type of violence as in Long Beach, a party going on in a backyard of Asian descent, and someone drives by and shoots them. Yeah. And the Hmong singer, whatever. The Hmong singer used to live in Long Beach, where there was just another mass shooting at an Asian party. I'm not saying they're connected. I'm just saying they seem connected. Anyway, since 1966, they have now done a study of what stereotypes. Because everyone talks about it's a white guy with a grudge. And, you know, and the left says it's his access to firearms. And the right says it's mental illness. And nothing ever gets done in the middle. So what is the truth? Well, science doesn't lie. Okay, it does. I know that's a shock to some people that support President Trump, who is not sick, who stopped by Walter Reed unannounced to have an x-ray on his chest for no reason whatsoever. Oh, if only. It's a strategy. If impeachment gets too bad, health issues will dictate that he resign. But Pence knew everything too, so he better go too. Anyway, so since 1966, they looked at the four ingredients. Is it that they're white? Is it that they're angry? Is it that they have a gun? No. Actually, here's what it is. No partisan debate. Okay, here's what it is. Are you ready? The four things that all of the shooters since 1966 have in common, that typically these shooters have in common, they typically have an experience with childhood trauma. Now, it doesn't say what that is. Abuse, something horrible, parents killed in front of them, whatever. Childhood trauma. Okay, I had plenty of it, actually. But we were poor. We were thrown out of our homes. There were policemen. There were all kinds of stuff happened when people were murdered. I saw dead bodies when I was a kid. I mean, this happened. Anyway, childhood trauma, a personal crisis or specific grievance. Now, I would imagine that means more closely to the murders, not in the childhood. So, childhood trauma, and then some sort of crisis, getting fired from your job, getting dumped by your date, getting a cancer diagnosis, realizing your life is over, I don't know, just whatever. A personal crisis or specific grievance. You know, there's something, whether real or imagined, by the way, this does not say that the personal crisis or specific grievance is real. Remember, perception's only everything. It's real to you. And a script, this is something, a script or examples that validate their feelings or provide a roadmap. In other words, an impetus. Donald Trump saying that, you know, Mexicans are rapists and murderers and are invading our borders. Someone yelling, shoot him at a rally. And he said, well, no, you can't. But then someone goes and does. You see, a roadmap. Other mass killers. The Columbine duo. You know, that sort of thing. They've provided a roadmap for, two decades now? So, okay, so there we have a childhood trauma, a personal crisis or a specific grievance, a script or examples that validate their feelings. In other words, a talk show host that's validating their feelings. Somebody that's giving what they're doing credibility. Okay? Or not just credibility, but a roadmap, a movie. You know, whatever it might be. And then the fourth thing. And it is what it is. They all had legal access to guns. So, one of the four things that all the shooters have in common is they all had legal access to a firearm. Not stealing it, not what they had legal access to it. I don't know how you could possibly tag someone for having all three of the other things. Childhood trauma, a personal crisis going on in their life and a grievance, And someone that's been following a script. That's what social media, that's what we try to do. We try to follow people. Are they following some extremist? Are they, you know, are they following a script? So there is no way. So what 1, 2, and 3 tell us is we can try to... You can't buy a box of chocolate, cocoa, Hershey's cocoa, and know everything that it's going to make. You can't. Okay? So what I mean is one ingredient on its own can go many directions and do many things. It's when when all these specific ingredients in cooking are combined, and it is chemistry, that something wonderful or bad happens. And it's getting dark in here, by the way, because it's getting darker outside because the storm that's heading to California is rolling through here. Tuesday, Wednesday, we're under a winter storm warning here in Las Vegas. They're under a wet warning on the West Coast. Water is coming, or at least a chance of it. Anyway, so cooking is very specific, and recipes are very specific. And so when you have these four ingredients, now see, when you're baking, you can substitute. So those on the left will say, see, if you take away legal access to firearms, people aren't going to be able to go on mass shooting sprees. And someone's going to say they'll just do something else. They'll substitute. They'll throw acid on people. They'll use bombs. They'll learn how to make, they'll do something else. Will they? I'll tell you, if they do substitute, it's never the same. It can be close. So yeah, they could do almost as much damage or maybe even more with a substitution. Are guns the only thing you can substitute in that recipe to get the outcome of a mass shooter? If they have a personal crisis and a script and access to a firearm but didn't have childhood trauma? See what I mean? But we know when you combine those four ingredients, childhood trauma, personal crisis or specific grievance, script, you know, more than the guns, the legal access to guns, I'm going to leave you with this before we move on here to another topic. We should try to remove the script. We should try to remove the shows that hate, the movies that give terrorists and mass killers. You know, I just got a screener of The Joker, and I'm going to watch it here at my home as a screener with no one else, without a theater. I knew I would get one, and I did. And you know what? I know I'm going to come away going, did we really need this? Let's stop giving people the script, even more than the firearm, because they can substitute a weapon, but they can't substitute the script or things to validate their feelings. If there's nothing, if the worst of us don't have a voice, and there's nothing for these people to get their feelings validated from, then... maybe that's the ingredient, the validation, the script, the ability for them to connect with people that feel the same way, a roadmap in motion pictures, in television, in song. Maybe we've provided the roadmap for the ingredient. Maybe we provide the ingredient for our own doom. I am Carell. Remember, I'm supported by Patreon. Do it at reallycarell.com. You can get my free app at every app store. Please do. It's the Carell Cast. And the web address is patreon.com/Carell, K-A-R-E-L, to give your $5 or more. But it's all at my website. It's all right there at my website, reallycarell.com. It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me today. We are having a great time today talking about many things. Now, it is what it is. Look behind me. Look at that party going on, honey. People gabbing around, talking about people, about it is what it is. You know, I think as Americans, and I think this goes to what we were talking about in the last segment about the key ingredient being the roadmap, the vindication, that we are providing that roadmap. And we are, you know, because sometimes I believe... a lot. We are afraid to say something is what it is and then actually deal with it. We'd like to convince ourselves. How many of you do this? This is the self-help section of the show today. How many of you do this? You have a relationship in your life it's usually with a relationship, whether it's a financial relationship or whether it's a business relationship or whatever kind of relationship it is. You have a relationship in your life and you want it, you enjoy it, you love that person, or you love that job, or you love whatever. You really do enjoy it until you don't. And you don't because that person doesn't see you as you see yourself. They see you as something else. They define you by something that you wish to not be defined by. Now I'm just giving you a for instance, okay? So you've got this person that you love and adore, and they define you a certain way because it's how they've known you, you know, or how they've seen you. Maybe they define you as the drunk, the drug addict. Maybe they define you as the married person, the divorcee. Maybe they define you as the slut. Maybe they define you as the titan of industry, or maybe they define you as the person who's never, ever, ever going to have anything. You know, maybe they define, you know, you love them, but they see you a certain way, and no matter what you do, you just can't change your image to them. And then you think you have. You're like, I think this time it's different. I think this time they really get it. I think this time they see. I think this time, how much of this sounds familiar to somebody out there, to you? To one, if I'm only helping one person right now, that's fine. So you've got this relationship, and maybe it's a work relationship. They always see you as the lesser, and they don't see you as the leader. Or they always, and you've got to change their perception because it's holding you back. Because you know you can be more, but you're never going to be more if these people or if this thing keeps seeing you the way that they're seeing you. And you've tried and you've tried and you love them and you don't want to leave or break up or quit or whatever, but you really need to be seen this way. That's a dilemma I'm having with a dear friend. A dear friend who spends countless hours helping countless clients get success in the entertainment industry, and yet helps me but doesn't go fully on board because they see me a certain way. They see me as a journalist and as their best friend and as a radio host perhaps, but they don't see me as anything more. Never seen my live show, never bought one of my singles, you know, that sort of thing. So I've trusted them with my new project, and I now see that I was kind of wrong because they're not going to give it their full dedication. They're going to treat it like and if I can help, I will, because, you know, it's his little thing that he wants. In other words, they don't see it with the passion and the commitment that I do. And this morning I spent a while crying about that because I'm going to have to stop paying as much attention to this person because all they really do is talk about themselves and their projects and what they're doing for other people. But when it comes to what they're doing for you or your life, even, I mean, I've had this person, when I've interrupted with something in a conversation, said, oh yeah, I've bought a, oh wait, we're talking about me right now. We'll get to you later. You know, how many of you have had someone like that where it's clear you're going to talk about them first? So I realized today that person's not going to give me the dedication that I need for my new project. And that they don't see it as grand as I do. That's why I'm sitting in front of a carnival horse and that fabulous painting that hangs in the Louvre there. It's grand, okay? And I see The Planted Host as being a grand movement with a TV show and a book and really helping people to get healthier. Because every day there's a story out about how we need to for the planet and for ourselves. And we're literally dying. And so I want to help people not die. I still want to make movies. I still want to sing. I still want to, you know, go out and do stand-up and all that. But along the way, I want to make you not die. I want to make you think about things like it is what it is. There comes a time when you have to make decisions. My glasses are so dirty and I apologize for that. There comes a time when you have to make a decision that if this is what it is, if this isn't going to change, you know, am I content staying in it with the parameters that I have? My answer this morning was no, I'm not. I'm not content. You need to be seen and understood and heard for who you are, In other words, for how you see yourself, whether it's how others see you or not, you know what? It's your world. And if people can run around calling themselves he, she, it, they, whatever, then you can determine how you want to be viewed in your world. And if you're not being viewed properly by people in your world, and you have tried everything to get these people to view you the way that you want to be viewed, and they still will not, then guess what? You might have to separate yourself in many ways from them, and whatever it is you are relying upon them for, you're going to have to just take it back into your control. Okay? Stop acting like someone's going to change and finally give you the dedication and the commitment that they've never given you in the past. Because they're not. As much as you want to believe that they are, they're not. They're not. And they can say they are, and they can say they're going to try to, and all of that. But they're not. You see what I mean? It is what it is. A scorpion is a scorpion. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. All of this is what it is. What we do with that information, when we finally make that realization that this is not going to change, they're never going to see me like I want to be seen. I'm never going to get that promotion. I'm never going to occupy that space at this company. I'm never going to occupy that space in this person's heart. I'm never, you know, this is what it is. When you finally reach that point of this is what it is, what you do defines who you are. Because some people, this is what it is, and they just accept it. You know, this is what it is. I'm just going to stay the same. It is what it is. Others say, no, I can't accept this. I can't allow this to keep going. Yes, this is what it is, and I don't like it. And I've liked it, and I've put up with it, and I've, you know, but now I'm going to change it. Which one are you? Are you... when you see something and you finally realize that it is what it is not going to change, do you accept it and move on from it and say, okay, then I have to change? See, that's it. If it's not going to change, then you have to. Or you don't. We talked yesterday about hardly anybody. Hardly anybody changes in those situations. Are you going to be a hardly anybody? I want to be. I want to be the one that says, no, I'm not being perceived the way that I want to be, so I'm going to do everything I can to change that perception, whether it's professionally or with a person or whatever. And not meaning, you know, that you care about how people perceive you, like, oh, I don't like his hair. No, no, no. I mean how they perceive who you truly are, like I am an entertainer, or I am a good human being, or I am a political being, or I am this, or I am that, I am a loving husband, I am a whatever, okay? Remember, I am Karell, be who you want to be, so I don't hurt anybody, and guess what? My website, reallykarell.com, R-E-A-L-L-Y-K-A-R-E-L, is a place of so much content. There's writing, there's recipes, there's videos. If you haven't been recently, you haven't been. And there's a free app, the KarellCast app, for Android, for Apple, for everybody. It's all there. It's all at Really Karell. And you can donate $5 a month or one time, all at Really Karell. You can watch all of Life in Segments, all four seasons free, at reallykarell.com.
Be a part of the show. Email feedback at reallykarell.com. That's feedback at reallykarell.com.
Hey, it's Karell, and while you're busy looking at the map behind me to try to find exactly where the Ukraine is and how it came to matter so, I want to remind you, social media, baby, those numbers matter. If not to you and me, then to people judging me. So how about you follow me? Because I give you all kinds of great content. The photos alone on Instagram, oh my God, the things I post. And of course, you're going to see Miss Ember, Ember Does Vegas. You're going to follow me on Twitter, and you're going to see all kinds of tweets that have all kinds of interesting information. So Twitter and Instagram. And what am I on both? Really Karell. That's right, Really Karell. Just like my website, Really Karell. And at reallykarell.com are all the videos, all of my social media, everything, my music, Spotify, Apple Music, all of Life in Segments, all four seasons, right there for free, child. You could just spend hours binge-watching at my website, which is there for free, reallykarell.com. So go.